Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, Janet Kilo. Each week at this time, we visit with an author or sometimes an editor or publisher from our region. We hope to find out a little bit about his or her life and ask them what prompts them to write. We give them an opportunity to read some of their work for us, and this week we're very pleased to have Janet back with us. Welcome, Janet.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Janet Kilo is well known for her historical mystery series featuring circuit rider Thaddeus Lewis. On previous visits to Word on the Hill, she discussed her novel Wishful Seeing, which is set in Coburg. This book was shortlisted for an Arthur Ellis Award Best Book category for 2017. But she's just released a new book in the Thaddeus Lewis series called The Heart Balm Taught, which we'll discuss in a minute, but she also wants to tell us about the second Women Killing It Literary Festival, which she and Vicky Delaney are organizing after the first festival was such a huge success last fall. So first of all, congratulations on making the shortlist for the Arthur Ellis Award.
Thank you. It was such an honor. It really was.
Yeah.
And huge number of entries, from all across Canada. So it really is an honor when you're shortlisted.
Well, quite an accomplishment. Congratulations. And that's not going to be the end of Wishful Seeing, because I understand that apparently Fourth Line Theatre is interested in adapting it for their outdoor theatre. You'd like to tell us about that?
They certainly are. And in fact, they have now got the dramatic rights to go ahead with that. And the script is being worked on even as we speak. So it's all very exciting. It looks like it's going to be a go.
Well, you yourself are an actress and a storyteller, so will you be involved in writing the script or in the production at all?
I must say I was asked if I would be interested, and I declined. One of the reasons for that is because the person who's doing the script is Maya Ardal, who is, Dora Award winning. And I must confess that most of the scripts that I have ever written have actually been vehicles for my own stuff. So I wouldn't say that I was terribly confident to begin with. And then I met with Maya, and we talked things over, and she told me about some of the ways she would like to approach the material. And at the end of that, I just said, you know what? The most useful thing I can do for this project is to get out of the way. novels and stage work, they're totally different. I had a certain story that was in my head, and that's what came out on the page. She's looking at it from a dramatic angle, and that's a very, very different thing. So I just said, you know what? I'll show up for opening night.
And I suppose she's got some big problems to deal with, too, because in my reading of the book, he traveled all over the county.
That's correct.
We go from Bryce Lake down to Coburg Town Hall and all the rest of it. And I think of Fourth Line Theatre and what they have to work with outdoors and in a limited area and so on. So that's going to take some doing.
They really are totally different things. I mean, there is no description on stage. You know, it all has to be dramatized. Now, some of it is going to be wonderful because there's the great baptism debate, which is almost there intact. The courtroom scenes, that's fine, but there's an awful lot of other stuff to get in there that's very, very tricky, and I am very, very pleased that a dab hand at it is going to be doing that.
Great. Now, let's get on to the new book,
the
Thaddeus Lewis book, The Heart Balm Taught.
Yes.
Now, first of all, I have to ask you, where's that title come from?
Okay, A Heart Balm Taught. There were a cluster of laws in 19th century Upper Canada called Heart Balm Taughts, and they're almost exactly what they describe. They're civil actions that someone brings, and it's meant to redress some affair of the heart.
Oh.
And that could include breach of promise to marry, or what they call alienation of affection, which is messing around with somebody else's spouse. Okay. But the most common one was a tort for seduction. And, usually what would happen, and it was amazing because these would be jury trials.
Yeah,
okay?
You say a trial over seduction?
Oh, yeah. And so the woman would show up, usually with an infant in her arms, and claim that she had been seduced for whatever reason, and she would like some money, please. And it's dead funny because, from what I read, 99% of the time the jury would find the guy guilty, because they would look at the woman with the kid and say, yeah, well, she needs some money. Somebody better give her some money. Okay, you know, there you go. So it was a very...
And I guess there was no paternity DNA or whatever back in those days.
There was none of that. I mean, they had, you know, occasionally something would get thrown out because it was just too wild a story. But generally speaking, it was a way for the woman to get some kind of support for her child. But being as it devolved from British common law, it was this really complicated thing where her father would have to bring the suit. Mm-hmm. And the argument was that because she had a child, he had lost her services as a servant.
Oh, wow. It's just all twisted, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Now, there aren't any heart bomb torts on the books anymore, which I think is probably a good thing. In Canada, in some of the funky southern states, they still do have them, and they still are brought to court, which is just wild. I loved the phrase right off the bat.
Okay, so is this going to be Thaddeus's last adventure, or does he keep going from here?
No, he keeps going from here. I'm working on another one now. And it's kind of fun with this series because characters are starting to recur. For example, in the Heart Bomb Tort, I brought back Clementine Elliott, who was a con artist that we last saw in Sowing Poison. Mm. So she turned up again. In the new one that I'm working on, I unfortunately don't have a title for it yet. It's just Thaddeus Number 7. Martha's father, Francis Renwell, pops up. And he's of course, was absent from most of Martha's childhood. She was raised by Thaddeus and his wife, Betsy. And he's never, ever really been able to establish himself as her father. I mean, she's fond of him, but he hasn't really been able to establish himself as her father. So in the new one, Martha gets kidnapped in the Heart Bomb Tort, and her father, Francis, hits the roof and sends off this blistering letter to Thaddeus saying, get her back here now. You were supposed to be looking after her. You know, what's going on? And so we go on from there.
But still, each book is a standalone.
Like, yes, it is. Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's just that you get interested in a character and I go read another one to see what they did once before.
Yes.
Well, perhaps you will read something for us.
I would love to. This is a section from The Heart Bomb Tort. And as I mentioned before, Clementine Elliott, whom we last saw in Sowing Poison, turns up. And I fell in love with Clementine. She just kind of took over the book, you know? She was one of those kind of characters. So at the end of Sowing Poison, there was some money left for her. And, of course, she did a bunk in the middle of the night, so nobody knew where she went. So this money has just been sitting there, and by a convoluted kind of way, she discovers that there is some money for her. She also discovers that Thaddeus is in London, and so she turns up kind of out of the blue and just inserts herself into his investigation and just needles him the whole time. So this is, she's just arrived. Martha and Joe set off while Clementine dug into her pie. Thaddeus waited in silence while she sipped her coffee, inwardly fuming over the prospect of wasting an afternoon. Eventually, she announced herself ready to go, and they rose from the table. Thaddeus was aware that a number of heads swiveled to watch them leave the dining room, and several people stared at them as they walked down Richmond Street toward Dundas. "So, tell me about this money," Clementine said before they'd gone very far. "I'm not at liberty to tell you anything. You'll have to wait until Mr. Ashby sends you the proper papers. At least tell me how much it is. You didn't say in your note." Thaddeus should never have written anything at the bottom of Martha's letter. He should have left it all to Ashby to take care of. "I'm not sure it's for me to say. Wait for Ashby and he can give you the details." "Really, Mr. Lewis, I've gone to considerable pains to come here. You can at least tell me whether or not it was a fool's errand." Reluctantly, he realized that she was probably right. She had travel expenses and the cost of hotel rooms to cover, and she would find out sooner or later anyway. "It's £200, I believe." Her eyes widened as she did the calculation. $800 or so? Is that right? Minus whatever Ashby charges to handle the transaction. Well, bless Nathan Elliott. He turned out to be not such a bad husband after all, didn't he? Even though I never met him. much nicer than his brother by all accounts. That wouldn't be hard. So who is this Mr. Ashby? He's a barrister, Thaddeus said. I asked him about the legalities of turning over the money. He offered to prepare the necessary documents. In other words, you were looking for a way not to give it to me. Yes, you can't blame me under the circumstances. As far as I'm concerned, the money is there as the result of your scheme to defraud the Elliots. It goes against my grain that you'll end up with it. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Lewis. Her raised voice attracted the attention of several people who were walking by. I worked hard for that money. You worked hard at duping old Mr. Elliot. Don't expect me to feel sorry for you. They walked along in silence for half a block. Then, unexpectedly, she said, I missed you after I left Wellington. Why? All I did was make your life difficult. She laughed. Yes, you did, didn't you? You were the only one who figured me out. I've always wondered, though, why you didn't turn me in as soon as you proved I was a fraud. I was more interested in finding out what you were up to than what you had done. Still, thank you, I suppose. It was nothing to do with you. I wanted to find the truth of the matter, and that's something I wouldn't mind knowing now as well. What do you mean? Thaddeus knew his question was on target. Clementine's tone was far too demure. He stopped walking. She was several steps down the sidewalk before she realized he was no longer beside her and turned to face him. You had no idea how much money Elliot left you, Thaddeus said. It could just as easily have been £5. And you're looking singularly prosperous. I don't think it was the money that brought you running as fast as you did. You're far too clever, Mr. Lewis. Let's just say that it was an expedient development. What are you up to? A shopkeeper who was sweeping the plank sidewalk in front of his store stopped what he was doing in order to listen to their argument. Not to worry, Clementine said. It's nothing you need to be concerned about. Let's just say that it's extremely convenient to have some place to be just now. She started walking again. In spite of the eavesdropping shopkeeper, he called after her. Are there any detectives following you this time? Of course not, she called over her shoulder. Or at least none that I know of. Thaddeus hurried to catch up with her, but he was torn between wanting to walk away and not being willing to take his eyes off her for a second.
Poor Thaddeus. She's going to get him into lots of trouble,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Janet.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Janet Kilo, author of the mystery series with Thaddeus Lewis, the most recent of which is The Heart Balm Taught. And we'll be back after the short break.